Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Hopefully you guys are having a spectacular weekend. If you're listening to this as soon as it's dropped, or weekday, or evening, whenever you're listening to it. Today we heard somebody's listening to it as they're washing their dishes.
Yes.
Which is remarkable. Yeah. Whether you're driving in the car or I don't know, who knows where. Hopefully you're having a good day. Hopefully Dude, things are well.
Soaking your feet at the end of the night. I like it.
Having a cold one.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's fair.
That's great. Well, let's pour some batchy. I could really use some batch, actually. I'm tired for some reason. I mean,
I've been in this office for going on, not 5 hours yet, but a little over four.
I think other than today, the last 2 days have been 15, 14-hour days for me.
Ooh, this is tasty. This is a geisha. This is nice.
Yo, dude. I mean, mouthfeel, texture, yeah. Sweetness, balance, everything's there. I mean, grind size is spectacular.
Yeah,
the brew bed looks very phenomenal. Nice.
Yeah.
This is...
How many, like 18 weeks off of roast? For our friends who like to rest their coffee.
Oh, man. This is about a month off, for a little over a month.
Oh, nice.
So not too much. But this is a Guatemala geisha from Finca La Soledad. This is a little bit of the last bit of literally the last beans in the bag of Prodigal's Guatemalan geisha.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tasty. It's nice. Mm-hmm. On batch. And imagine having geisha every morning on batch.
I mean, I wouldn't drink it every morning. It's pretty sparkly.
I would.
It's sparkly. It's very crispy and sparkly. Actually, speaking of coffee every morning.
Very nice.
Another Guatemalan coffee I had this morning that I would drink every morning. I had to pause. I'm thinking, how would I drink it? I think I really liked it this morning because I had it on espresso.
Okay.
Yeah.
On your flair?
Yeah. The only problem is I don't brew espresso every morning at home. It's so much work for me.
Yeah, with the flair.
Yeah, with the flair. And with a comodante.
Yeah.
The only thing I need to get an espresso grinder, but...
Yeah. You need to cop one of our EKs and just take it with you.
Maybe.
I mean, this is tasty.
Super tasty.
I literally have zero complaints to say about the coffee, about the brew, the roast. Yeah. It's delightful. It's excellent. It's not... I will say... I probably wouldn't say that this is like the most mind-blowing geisha I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's... Everything's there. I think Particle's last geisha on their last drop had a better geisha that I had.
Yeah.
That was remarkable. This is still really, really outstanding. Really good. That's it.
It's great. I like it.
Sometimes coffees are just so great that you're like, there's not much to say. It's like, dude, it's a banger. Boom.
Yeah. The main thing that's going through my head is because we were talking about brewing espresso and I've been brewing more espresso at home. I'm like, I wonder what this coffee would yield as an espresso, because as batch, it's very sparkly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are you picking that up? It's just so like tingly and sparkly.
Yeah. No, it's nice.
So... I wonder what that would translate as an espresso.
Yeah. Mm.
That's nice. I like it a lot. It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Podcast is over.
Yeah. I'm like, no comment. Yeah,
that's just it. That's it.
Left us speechless.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Wow. This is remarkable. Well, I'll stop raving about this beautiful, delicious brew. And we can get right into it.
Yes.
Sergi, you not too long ago came back from Chicago.
Mm-hmm,
got to experience a little bit of the coffee culture there. But the biggest thing that you were doing is you're helping do some consultation for someone who wants to start a cafe. Is that correct?
That is a very correct introduction. Yes, that was super fun. I've never done a trip for like a meeting. I've never done that before. That was my first.
72 hours.
Less. 48 hours. My turnaround time was 28 hours.
That's insane.
Yep. I flew in one evening, took a red eye, came back, then left the following. Yeah, it was something a little like about 30 something hours actually.
Yeah. It's a very weird feeling to do. Very something weird. Like I had, I shot a wedding with a buddy in Idaho. Honestly, I just wanted to. I just went there actually more just to like hang out with him. Mm-hmm. But he was also paying, so I was like, great. And everything was paid for. But literally flew in, I think Friday midday, had a Friday evening shoot, like a late dinner. And then I shot the wedding the next day.
Ooh.
And then early morning at 6, 5 a.m., I was already flying back home.
Yeah.
Literally 24, maybe 36 hours or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. The cool thing was because it was quote unquote business trip, and because everything that's business and coffee is fun, in my opinion. It's like the combo of having to do what? Oh, it's Mark. You're pointing out my mistake. Sorry. Apologies in there, my mic. But no, what I was saying is like I think going on a business trip that's coffee related feels like. Way too much fun because mm-hmm. basically we got to drink a ton of coffee and try out, explore the Chicago scene. Like you said, I've never been in Chicago, so I had no idea what I'm looking at. So that was exciting. But at the end of the day, the whole point was I was there for a consultation gig. Mm-hmm. I've been helping out in a coffee company from Ukraine, from our friend Arthur, who hit us up and said, hey, like, we'd love to partner and see if we can get some consultation mm-hmm. helping start some cafes in the United States, which yeah. is super exciting because they're a fairly established business in Ukraine, but the market is different in the United States. So that's where my level of expertise and like as mirror where mm-hmm. we come in, you know, come and play, which is super cool. I love that.
Yeah, and that's something that seems to be recently become more of a thing. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, since we've started the podcast, we've had so many people jump on the call and just say, hey, can I just pick your brain for like an hour?
Right.
And I'm telling you, we're always happy to do that. We just jumped on a call with somebody, what was that, like literally like 3-4 weeks right before our trip.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like yeah. that. And so... Yeah, we've been doing it, and it seems like it's come up more often now. And I think the first thing that comes to mind is why should somebody pay a consultant to consult you on starting a coffee shop, a roasting company, or anything? Because it feels like, I don't know, maybe this is like a little cultural thing mm-hmm. for us, but it's like when you think about like, man, are you really going to pay somebody a premium amount of money to just tell you how to do it? Like not even do mm-hmm. necessarily the hard work. You might not be the one roasting behind the machine. You're not going to be washing the bathrooms. You're not going to be the barista pulling shots. You're there to consult and to give direction.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it feels like, wait, really? Why would you even do that?
I mean,
because it's, why would you pay so much money yeah. for somebody to just tell you on a Zoom call? Like, can't you just Google it? Can't you just research it?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, you can share much more, but where I was going with that is like, at face value, it seems kind of weird, but it's also not a foreign thing.
Yeah.
And for example, whether that's the VC world, like venture capital, whether that's in startup world, whether that's anywhere, this is actually pretty normal.
Yeah.
And simply because there's a lot of value here. And I think in the coffee world, that hasn't become really a thing that's popular yeah. For multiple reasons. But anyways, question to you, why is it even important to pay yeah. a consultant to come consult you and give you advice on starting a coffee shop or a roasting company?
I mean, one, I gotta say this, it just comes down to resources, right? Some people have the resource of time and the availability to, like, you were kept posting on social media about the fact that, you know, getting a job is like being paid to educate yourself, because you're gaining mm-hmm. experience and you're learning. You know, other folks have more of the resource of like money, so they're using the resources that they have to gain some of that experience that they don't have time to gain, mm-hmm. right? Because at the end of the day, whenever I consult someone in starting a cafe, and I've lost plenty of gigs by saying this, and I will continue to say this, is if you have not worked in coffee, you should probably not start a cafe. That's kind of, in my opinion, that's kind of the given, simply because there's so many nuances to the business. There's so many experiences that we as baristas have had, and then maybe as managers, and then some of us who became cafe owners have, that are, these experiences are not written in books. And the best way to learn those experiences is to experience them. But I get it. That's not always the luxury to have that time. Like, I've worked in coffee a little over 6 years now. Mm-hmm. I've been part of four or five startups now. So those kind of experiences help inform me with information that you can't really read in a book. So when it comes to consulting, like, why would you want that? Well, you want to learn from those experiences, and the best way to do that is to bring in a person who's done it. That's as simple as that. You're kind of buying someone else's experience.
Why is that even important?
I mean, sheesh. I so many reasons. I mean, the main reason is a lot of the stuff that I've experienced behind bar is not written about in some kind of manual. So you get to learn and you get to understand what's happening in a cafe setting that you wouldn't be able to get from any other form of education.
Let's play the other side. What's a person losing out on?
Yeah.
What's the worst case scenario of not bringing somebody on?
Easy. Going in to a very expensive, low profit endeavor with absolutely no sight, blindly, with a blindfold on.
And why is that bad?
Imagine driving a car even at 20 or 30 miles an hour with your windshield being completely covered. It's going to be a disaster.
Like, so why is that bad?
You're going to lose money. You're going to lose people. You're going to hurt people. You're probably not going to run a successful business. I feel like a lot of folks that I've talked to, this is my experience again, are wanting to start a cafe. One, because they've seen other people do it. So they're mm-hmm. like, oh, that's fun. And then the other reason is they literally have money that they want to invest, which mm-hmm. both two very good, proper, understandable reasons. But at the end of the day, they don't always yield very positive results, because okay. you are walking in blindly. So a lot of things
can go wrong. So say you've already worked a few years behind mm-hmm. bar. Let's say you've worked even at a roastery as well. Do you even need a consultant?
Of course.
Why?
Why? Because there's other people who have more experience than you.
But now your blindfold's off, right? You can see.
Well, you can, so imagine now if your windshield was completely covered with mud. Imagine you took that mud with those windshield wipers and just smudged it. You can probably see different shapes and different lights and different stuff through your windshield. But the road is still hard to see. And if a deer pops out in front of the road, you probably won't see it.
So listen, my head, maybe because of the work that I do, everything I think about, like when I hear something, I think in terms of images and videos.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I make videos for a living. And the only thing I could imagine and think about is the classic old, this is like something you only see in the movies. Like, this is like just a lost... This is a lost art. This is a lost image that they don't even put into movies anymore, unfortunately. The guy who picks up the newspaper and there's two holes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that an iconic image?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that's like, you have some experience in the industry, but you're still have the newspaper still completely covering your whole view. You just have two holes looking and you're still not seeing the big picture.
Yeah.
Is there ever a time when you can outpace your the level of consult the need for a consultant?
Yeah, I would say so. Like at some point, if you've established multiple businesses in the market that you're now familiar with, you probably don't need, again, the reason I bring up the whole driving and the car example visual is because a consultant is not the person driving the car.
Yeah.
You know, I'm literally the consultant is whatever is helping clear up the windshield.
Maybe even the GPS.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. The consultant is not driving the car. Yeah. They're not behind the wheel. They're not doing any of that. They're helping folks see the road, see the direction they want to head in. And that's the goal of a consultant, is to set you up in towards the path of success.
And I want to say, I posed my questions that way is because I think some people can say, oh man, but you know, I don't have enough money. I think you know, I can't pay somebody, you know, these ridiculous rates that you can, you know, find of coffee consultants. Mm-hmm. I can't afford this. Like, I'm just trying to make ends meet, like all this stuff, which I totally understand. Yeah, listen, I come from a small business background, very much so, from my dad, my, you know, all my relatives, myself. Like, I get that. But what you're saying, I'm assuming, is that even though there's an upfront, weird, uncomfortable charge, there's actually a bigger uncomfortable experience is going in, saving that consultant rate, but then, you know, hurting your employees, not knowing where to start, running into bumps that are completely unforeseen by you, potentially losing your business, losing your investment money that you invested into this. The downsides are potentially like pretty big.
Yeah.
Like this is like a big deal.
Yeah.
And this is probably why people actually in most business worlds, this is why people actually have mentors and why people recommend, hey, if you want to start a business, you should probably surround yourself with people who are doing what you're doing, but they're 10 steps ahead.
Yeah, for sure.
And to be honest, I think like we talk about this quite often, but we started the podcast because we wanted to give a resource that we saw did not exist, or at least in a lot of volume. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to offer that to people, which is cool now because now we just received a DM last week saying, hey, I've been working in coffee for actually several years now, but your podcasts are encouraging me, are giving me direction and clarity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, that's what it's for. Because that's important. Even things like, there are things that even after we started Mirror and after we started the podcast that I would actually wish I could go back and potentially adjust it and say, hey, no, you think this is how you do it, but there's actually not that that's wrong, but there's a better way of doing it.
And I think a lot of the times consultants are really good at asking questions. So it's not necessarily about giving all the right answers. It's positioning both parties, the consultant and the person that's receiving consulting, into a place where they can have dialogue and be able to almost play like devil's advocate in certain times and then propose a different like perspective that may not have been seen. You know, like you said, at the end of the day, it's like, dude, do you want to total your Jeep that you're off-roading on? Or do you just want to invest into some very good windshield wipers, some liquid to clear up the vision so you avoid that massive accident? You know what I mean? I would say for us as well, as I'm thinking about this, like we received consulting and coaching ourselves from other people in the industry. We did have experience going into this, but we knew that our experience is not enough to just straight up start a business from scratch. Mm-hmm. We also had very unique situations, so we needed advice on, you know, where and how do we roast? Where do we start with that? We both had roasting experience, but it was much different than our coach's experience. So we brought people in to help and assist us and to give us a point of view that was way different than our experience had. And that was very intentional. That it literally, I think if we would have not done that and went trial and error and finally realized that, no, we actually need that person's opinion, we would have been so far behind. It would have been awful.
Yeah. And that's another point worth making is that it may not be like your case might not be life or death. Like it's either you go out of business or you stay alive, even though sometimes that is actually the case. Right. A lot of times also it's like, well, do you want to learn the very hard way?
That's a good point.
Or do you want to make this a little easier? And listen, running a business is already hard. There's there's no way to make it absolutely easy, but you can make it easier and you can make it harder on yourself. And having a second opinion that's already more well-rounded, more experienced, actually allows you to bypass some of the things that, you know, they've learned along the way. They had to go through all the trouble of learning that. They're now just, they're just passing that on to you now.
Yeah.
That's huge. You could save time, energy. You could save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And I think with that, like when you're looking for a consultant, one of the main things you got to consider is like, who do you jive with?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. Like, because you don't want to start from scratch. You don't want to hire someone or bring someone in that you, that just doesn't have the same ideology as you, right? You want to have some similarity, some common ground. And then at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you can kind of build together and not just bring in a consultant that maybe you had no connection to, no recommendation. And you're like, well, it says coffee consultant sold.
Yeah.
Like, and then you have to basically kind of fight your way through it. You will spend a lot of time doing that. And then you eventually will spend a lot of money and be like, man, this coffee consulting thing is a scam.
Yes.
When in the reality is it's not a scam. You might have not chose a compatible person for your business, for your values and what you're looking to do. And that's why it's also important to have that starting point. Like, we're not saying go into this blindly. We're saying also like do your research, like kind of prepare for hiring a consultant. But then also there's other things that are happening that you are probably not aware with. And having that second point of view, super beneficial.
And I think also to play kind of devil's advocate on that point, and this might even make things a little more complicated, but also realizing that just because you found somebody who might think like you, who might jive with you, that may not be actually the most important.
Fair.
Because they might have the same blind spots that you have.
Fair.
Where it's also sometimes very important to have somebody walk in and say, no, this is, you're actually not, you may not be doing things 100% wrong, but there's a way more better or maybe more profitable or, you know, a faster way to do something. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be able to weigh a little bit of those odds, you know? I think that's a big caveat. Yeah. I think adding on to that is something I've heard is that the difference between you and somebody that's really, really successful, of course, there's a lot of differences. How, you know, your work ethic, you know, just a lot of things. But I think a big thing is knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like the people who are running a way more successful business than you just know things that you don't know. And every day that goes by that you do not learn and know the things that they do know, it's actually costing you.
Right.
Like your ignorance actually costs you money.
Yeah.
Think about this. If you can make $1 million next year and your business is only doing $500,000 a year, so to speak, hypothetically, by you not learning and learning from somebody or gaining that experience and that knowledge of how to grow your business to $1 million, it's actually costing you $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden, when you put it into that framework, you're like, wait a second. So actually the more that I don't ask a consultant or for help, it's actually costing me opportunities and success.
Right. Yeah. And at the same time, if you're also doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for some different results, like, yo, that's pretty insane. Like you can't expect that, oh, I don't need a consultant, I'll just keep, you know, keep crushing. Well, if you're crushing, hasn't made you a beneficial and profitable business, you probably need some help. So that's part of what I was saying earlier is like, it does take some self-awareness and some homework to do to be able to look at your stuff and be like, okay, these are the areas that I am just not sure of. And I need to find someone who can help me with those areas, not someone to walk in and be like, oh yeah, you're doing everything great. Like, we're not looking for a cheerleader. We're looking for a coach. Yes. We're looking for someone who can get us to that next level. So you have to have a goal in mind. You have to have a problem. We'll help you find the solution. Yes. I think of, and you know, another image that pops in my mind is if you're going to the gym and you've worked out a couple of times and you're like, you're not getting the results, but you are going to the gym, you are showing up, but you're not getting the results you wanted, you might want to call a trainer. And that trainer might not be with you forever, but they're going to set you on a path and help you understand how your body functions, what you can lift, what helps you do this and that. You start getting into that routine, and then all of a sudden you don't need the trainer, but you got into the routine and you start seeing like progress and for heading into the direction that you want to go.
And I think a trainer is also like, when you talk about like doing the same thing, but also not getting those results is insane. At the same time, it's just as wise and smart to do the same things over and over and over and over and over again if they're the right things.
Yeah,
because a lot of things actually just take time to build.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're like, wait a second, didn't Sergi just say the complete opposite? Yes, but that's the benefit of actually having a consultant that's already a couple steps ahead of you, so they can say, listen, these 10 things, you just need to do them, do the same 10 things better, faster.
Yep.
And you'll hit your results in 5 years. And then there's these 5 things that you just need to stop doing because they're wasting your time. They're not going to bring a return on you. Without the experience, you might not know how to decipher which one you need to keep doing and which one you don't. Mm-hmm. That's also a little bit of a benefit. I mean, I think, I don't know. I think I could talk about this forever. Same. Because it's like, it's so evident to me. Like, that's also something... Maybe because I'm also experiencing the same thing where I'm like, okay, listen, whether that's in my video business or even with Mirror, where I'm like, I want to go to the next, get to the next step. And I know it's not because I can't do it. I'm very well confident in myself and assured of myself that I'm capable of building something really spectacular because of what I've already seen I've been able to build. But listen, I also need people that are like 50 steps ahead of me who own behemoths of, you know, businesses and companies who have already walked the path. And I'm like, listen, okay, who can I learn from? Where do I need to adjust either my friend group or adjust who I'm spending more time with? Who can I learn from? Because like that, going back to what I said earlier, that scares me. Is like, I'm like, wait a second. So if I can have a business that's 5x the amount, the size, and if it's the difference is just simply me not knowing something, my ignorance, that ignorance is costing me a lot of money. Dang.
Yeah. I mean, outside of even growing, like, let's say we don't even talk about numbers and like business and revenue and profit. Like, let's put that to the side. Outside of that, you'll be able to, one, get a little bit of peace of mind or a little more peace of mind.
Yes.
Like, you'll be able to create more space in your life outside of work to be able to do things that you may also want to do. But because this business is taking up so much of your time, that'll lower your stress. That may create home life better for you. That can benefit you in so many ways because you don't have to make the same mistakes that others who are with more experience have already made and can tell you, hey, if you do this, this is the potential of something bad happening here. You know what I mean? So I think for me, the benefit of that is like, that's well above any kind of revenue or profit, is knowing that, hey, if I get help from someone who has experience and they can direct me into this direction, then I can avoid all of those pitfalls. I can avoid all of those things, and I can actually create something else and creates more energy for me 100%. To continue investing into that same business or maybe even a new endeavor. You know what I mean? Yes. So I think with a consultant, you're also opening up the potential for bigger and different endeavors as well. So big benefit.
I think that's, you know, equally as important. Like that health well-being side is ridiculously important. Like it's so crazy. Like there's a lot of things going on in my head and I'm like, yeah, because you know, if you're stressed out because you just don't know what you're doing and your mind is in a billion places at once, how do you think your employees are gonna feel?
Yeah. Or if you're not eating, losing sleep,
how do you think your families are gonna feel? Yeah. How do you think your roommates are gonna feel? How do you think, like, it just gets worse. It's like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
Why put those things on the line when you could just not?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just, to me, that's just it's a no-brainer, because the cost of bringing somebody on like that is far less than the cost that you're gonna pay for not.
Right. I mean, we could literally just close the pot on that, because you hit that really, really well. I think there's so many benefits. On top of that, I'm just stoked to see and connect with other people who just have very good experience. Like for me, Max is consulting now, Max Lomuni, but for me, he was just like such a majorly big experience. Like, yes, you know, I worked with him and I worked for him, but outside of that, seeing the knowledge that he brings was just like, and seeing the value that he brought to you and I, to my family, it's insane to surround yourself with people like that. I mean, it's super important.
For sure. I think also congrats to Max, who just sold Narrative not too long
ago. That's right.
The guy started Narrative freaking from a bar, from a small little coffee cart, spearheaded a location, built a freaking behemoth of a coffee company that's like world class, so to speak, and then also for family, which is insane, to move across the country and to sell your little baby of a cafe is unreal, unmatched. And I think it's worth saying that, hey, now that he's no longer owning Narrative, he's also took on a consulting gig, which I would say, like, yeah, if you're like listening to this and you're like, no, I could use like a consultant or some advice, you guys, Maxwell is the guy. Yeah. Already, he started, ran, and sold a coffee company.
Yeah,
the guy knows a few things.
Just a few things.
Yeah. You know, and so I think that's it. You know, I think this podcast has also opened up a few interesting opportunities for us. It's taught me what I enjoy doing. Actually, I love doing this podcast, like literally.
Yeah.
And so I think there might be some fun things that we might be able to be working on for the future that might help coffee roasting companies, coffee shops, startup and stuff like that. But that's in the future.
There's a ton of fun projects. I mean, we recently got off the phone from that one project that's local here that I'm talking to. There's a ton of, like, again, like you said already, the podcast has been a great resource, and I'm super stoked to talk with folks who are super passionate about coffee. At the end of the day, that's, I feel like every day in the cafe, or every day on the phone, or every day through FaceTimes, like the people that we've gotten to meet, I'm just, man, I love this coffee stuff. I love the business side of it. I love, like you say, it's a game. It's super fun. It's a game. Yeah, it's super exciting. So,
well, this won't be the last time we'll be covering similar topics. I think we'll go into much greater detail in later episodes, which might be, you know, really practical for some of you. But I think that's a wrap for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Obsessions podcast. Friends, I don't know, share this with somebody who might need, you know, is thinking about starting a cafe. I think this would be very valuable to send to somebody. So give that a send, give that a share. But I think that's a wrap. Tasty little geisha today on a tasty little episode. Let's freaking go. There you have it, folks. As we always say, reflect what's good.